everybody be finding our seats, and we'll have our ushers to come forward this evening and receive our offering. Get a couple of strong men up here to take up our offering for us. This looks to be a big one tonight, so we're going to need some guys with some muscles to carry it. All right, we want to remind y'all tonight that our Wednesday evening offering is to help keep those buses running. How y'all like them gas prices lately? Isn't that a blessing? That's why we need you to give right there. If the Lord's blessed you, if you'll be a blessing to the bus ministry, I believe God will return that to you and maybe make your gallon of gas go a little further too. I believe the Lord's able to do that. So let's go to the Lord tonight and let's ask the blessing. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, for another day that you've given to us. We thank you for this service tonight. Lord, we pray that you'll bless this offering. Lord, use it to the furtherance of thy kingdom. Lord, we pray that you'll bless each and every one that gives tonight. Bless each and every one that doesn't have to give, Lord, that they'll be able to, Lord. And just pray that, God, you'll just be with the service, be with Brother Jason as his family comes to sing, and be with him as he preaches the word to us tonight. Father, we thank you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody has a special object that you'd like the church to pray about, you can let us know about that at this time. If anybody has a special prayer request. All right. All right, let's remember Sister Dorothy's aunt tonight. The Lord will touch her. He knows the need. Anybody else have a special object? Remember Miss Desi's family tonight. I also want to ask the church once again to continue to please pray for Brother Bo. I know every time we say that, we always agree, but I'll tell you something. If that was you, you'd want people thinking about you every day and praying for you every day. And that, let me tell you something else. That's the difference between Christians and the world. We don't just think about it, we pray about it. If there's people out there in the world, they'll say, well, you'll be in our thoughts. That's sweet, but that don't do nothing. You know, you can think about me all day long, but I want you to get in touch with God. That's what we need to be, as Christians, that's what we need to be doing for our brethren. I hope that, you know, he does cross your mind every day. I know, you know, I laid down a little bit this evening after work, and I was praying for him then, and just, if that was you, and believe me, I've been where he's at, and I know how I felt. I wanted to know that people's thinking about me and praying for me, because prayer changes things, folks. Prayer, listen, I know what doctors have said. I know what odds are, but I just don't think the Lord is intimidated by doctors' reports or the odds. I think that God's on the throne, and he can do whatever he's going to do, and we just need to pray that he'll touch. Amen? Amen. That's the way I'm praying. So let's continue to remember Brother Bo. Anybody else got a special object tonight? Anybody else at all got anything you want us to pray about? Oh, that's a blessing. Two prayer requests tonight. Everybody else is doing great and you ain't having any problems. Amen. That's something to shout about right there. Amen. All right. Well, let's all go to the Lord in prayer tonight one more time. But Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, once again for this opportunity just to come to you in prayer tonight. Lord, we've had a couple of requests mentioned tonight, Lord, that we just want to bring before you, Lord, and we just want to ask you to do what needs to be done in each and every situation. Lord, we pray for Dorothy's aunt, Lord, that you be with her, Lord, and just touch her in every way, Lord, physically, spiritually, financially, Lord, whatever needs she may have. Lord, I pray most of all, God, that she'll look to you and that she'll just trust in you, Lord, that you'll be near to her during this time. And, Lord, that you would just, if you'll be in your will, work a healing in her body. Lord, we pray for Miss Desi tonight, Lord, and her family, Lord, whatever the needs are there, that you would be with them, Lord, and do what needs to be done, Lord, that they'll look to you and Lord, and just be right with you and serve you, Lord. Lord, we know we're closer to your coming than we've ever been, Lord. The signs are all around us, God, and we just pray, God, that Lord, that there'll be an urgency and a burden in our hearts, Lord, to reach out to those that we know, that we work with, that are in our families, Lord, that are not ready. We pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, just to be a light for you, Lord God, just to renounce and turn from any sin in our lives, Lord, that's keeping us from being what you'd have us to be, Lord. And now we pray for Brother Bo tonight, Lord. We ask you, God, once again, Lord, that it would be in your will that you would touch him, Lord, and Lord, that you would just heal him, Lord, that you would just smite this disease that's in his body, Lord. And God, we know that all you'd have to do is speak the word and it would be done, God. We're just trusting you tonight, Lord, just putting him in your hands, God. And we ask you, Lord, to touch and do that, that, Lord, would bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, we pray for the service once again tonight. We ask, Lord, that you'll be with Brother Jason and his family as they come and sing, Lord. Just help him to preach the word that you would have us to hear tonight, Lord. May our hearts be open and receptive, Lord. And then we'll leave here, Lord, closer to you than when we came in. And we thank you for it, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, brother, if y'all are ready, come on up. Obey the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Been through enough. Amen. I was listening to Brother sing his songs. I think we got it from them, or two or three people was doing it when we did it, when we decided to do it. And old Brother C.T. Townsend has been through it lately. And we was listening to him on the way down here, and I got a blessing thinking about, you know, they'll keep on singing through the trouble they've been through. They just lost a baby. And some things happen. They'll keep on singing. I tell you what, that's when, really honestly, that's when the Lord gets sweet to you. When you go through them tough times and you realize that no matter what you go through, brother, you know He'll take care of you. Amen. I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. I tell you what, I sure have been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. I remember, I tell you, I would have shouted when I got saved. I'd been saved probably just a few months. Probably I'd have shouted when I heard that song. But I know what it means now. Amen. I mean, I'm talking about a God that's brought me. He saved, not only saved me, and not only am I saved by the God of heaven, by His dear grace, He saved me. But like old John Newton said, brother, His grace has brought me safe thus far, and His grace is going to lead me on. I know what it's like to show up to camp meeting and think, I don't know how I've made it through this year. And then to realize it's His grace. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you, to go through family problems and family in prison, family in the hospital, and mom and dad's getting divorces and going through this life and sin coming at you, being on the old ship of Zion. And it may take a hit or two, brother, but it ain't going down. Amen. It's held up by His grace tonight. Amen. And I'm telling you, I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. Amen. I'll just preach that song. How about that? Amen. Noah, while you're opening your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 2 and 3 and wherever, it's all good. Just open your Bible somewhere there and we'll go to town. Amen. But Genesis chapter 2 somewhere there. Genesis 2, we'll start there, then we'll get to 3 in a minute. You can't get to Genesis 3 before you get to Genesis 2 anyway. Y'all know that, right? You got to start in 2, then it goes to 3. It's chronological. Amen. I seen the chronological Bible the other day, Brother Derek. I went to the bookstore and they had the chronological Bible there. I said, I got one already. Amen. Hallelujah. You go there, you see, there's the teen Bible and the Bible for wives and the Bible for husbands. I said, thank God I already got one. Amen. I got a Bible for wives and husbands and teenagers. It's an old-fashioned King James Bible. Amen. It's brought me through my teenage years. It's brought me through my being a husband. It's brought me through being a daddy. And it'll bring me on through, amen. Well, I'm an old man. I ain't one yet, amen. Even though I got this gray hair. Say amen, Brother Derek. I hate this gray hair, amen. It's better than it turned gray than it turned loose, though, ain't it? And I just don't know why it's turning into my ears. I just wish it'd get out of my ears, Brother Derek. Why does it want to do that? I don't know, man. I got this little thing you stick in there. You can't never find one of them that works right, though. You know? One of them little, I mean, it makes a little noise in there and stuff, but it don't never really. I want it to go and just get it out. But it don't never work right. Do they make a good one? I mean, you get them little cheap ones that you put AA batteries in. I ain't never found a good one. I want clean ears, amen. But amen. I tell you, while you open your Bibles tonight, I would ask that you pray for us. Y'all know we've been going back and forth to Georgia. Somebody asked me today, what's going on? I said, I have no idea. And I don't. And I'm just in that place where you got to trust the Lord. And through this process, I'll be honest with you, it's not been easy to do that. I wished I could stand up here and tell you, oh, I'm a man of great faith and I constantly abide and trust God. But I don't always do that. Amen. Sometimes I get discouraged and I wished I could be like some of the great people of faith. I think about old Joseph. God gave Joseph dreams. I'm going to ramble on a little bit tonight, y'all. We'll get out of here by 7 o'clock, I promise you. I'm kind of killing a little time, but I kind of got a lot of stuff on my heart, and none of it goes any specific direction. So y'all just bear with me a minute, okay? And we'll get somewhere, I promise you. But I was thinking about old Joseph. Man, God gave him a dream. He was a young man. And I feel like that. But where Joseph loses me is when his dream didn't come true, he didn't quit. He didn't get discouraged. And I ain't quit. But, I mean, Joseph didn't get discouraged. His dream didn't come true immediately. Friend, some people ain't going to like your dream. They threw Joseph in prison. Some people ain't going to understand your dream. Some people are going to hate you for your dream. And your dream ain't going to come true immediately. But brother, hold on, because one day it's going to come true, amen. You got a dream to serve God and to live for God, hold on, it's going to come true. That's a whole other message, but I ain't going to preach it because I ain't got it ready either. I ain't got it ready either, amen. She's laughing at me. I'll get it ready one day. Lord, help me. I work 10 hours a day, amen. And I was at Honda dealership with my mother-in-law till 7:30 last night. And trying to help her get a car. Lord, she's helped us out so much, y'all. Y'all pray for Linda. She finally, I, I was going to do whatever it took to help her. She's helped us out through so much down through the years, and her vehicle tore up on her, and we hobbled it in down there at the dealership and prayed to God that they wouldn't drive it down the road because it runs hot. And we weren't dishonest. We said it's having problems. They didn't ask us what kind of problems it was having. I said, I'm not a mechanic. I know there's a head gasket though, amen. But so anyway, thank God that worked out. But anyway, I thought about old Joseph, man. He wound up, you know, going to prison for something he didn't do. And thank God he wound up, because he's faithful, I believe he got to be a special type of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. I think it's over 150 times he's a type of Christ. I am not going to get into all that. But I mean, he's hated by his brethren. They threw him into prison, sold him for 20 pieces of silver. He wound up ruling and reigning in the end, just like the Lord Jesus Christ will one day. It's a wonderful story. Falsely accused, all those things that Joseph is as a type of Christ. But I kind of stopped there with Joseph. But I'll tell you what, the Bible says, oh, Elijah was a man of like passions. Elijah was a man of like passions. That means he's like us. And you know what? I'm glad them Old Testament guys wasn't perfect. Amen. I'm glad they's like passions. That means that they got mad and they got their feelings hurt and they got the mully grubs and they got sad and they got all kind of stuff. Just like we do. And old Elijah called down fire from heaven in one chapter, and the next chapter he's running from old Jezebel. And he's hiding out over there under a juniper tree and hid out in the woods and said, Lord, just kill me. I ain't no better than my father's. He's thinking about his daddy. He's thinking about his family. That'll get you down and out, won't it, amen? He got to thinking about how bad things was, and he said, Lord, I ain't no better than my father's. That's a depressing thought, ain't it? If you ain't no better than the people that raised you, Lord, I mean, I'd like to think that I learned something from some of their mistakes or something. Lord, don't let them see this. I ain't talking about them specifically. But hopefully, you know what? I tell you what, some people don't want their kids to be no better than they are. You know what? They don't want their kids. They say, I know people say, don't get above your raising. Lord God, I hope my kids get above their raising. I'd like to see them be three or four times better than I am, you know, financially, spiritually, whatever. But I feel like him because he got down and out and said, Lord, won't you just kill me, you know? Things didn't work out like he thought they would. And then the Lord sends the ravens to feed him. And that's me. The Lord sends the ravens to feed me. And I got discouraged over that thing. And Lord, throughout Christmas, it ain't nothing but mistletoe and holly and jolla-la-la-la and fa-la-la-la-la and all that stuff and Santa Claus and giving gifts. And that's enough to discourage you anyway. Brother Derek's about to have a shouting spell. He loves Christmas. But that's just because he's raised Jehovah Witnesses. Mom and Daddy didn't celebrate, didn't they? Amen. But it's hot chocolate and candy canes and all that stuff. And we came back from Georgia and I was discouraged. I didn't want to celebrate Christmas. I didn't want to eat candy canes and make snow angels. We didn't even have any snow. You ever get in a time where all you see is the bad? I mean, I'm sorry, but I do. I get the time. Somebody said no. Or do you say yes or no, brother? Yeah. If you say no, it's going to really be bad. I'm going to be like, I thought we was friends. But no, I mean, I get in a time sometimes where all I see is the negative. If you take your eyes off the Lord, you can get there. All you see is the negative. Come to church and all you see is the negative. You come look around you and all you see is what everybody else is doing. Man, I'm telling you, If a devil can get you to take your eyes off the Lord, he has successfully got you in the place where he's wanting to take you. And but I'm glad the Lord don't leave us there. He don't leave his prophets there. He don't leave his people there. We all get discouraged and we all get down. But I'm glad the Lord don't leave you there. He'll send the ravens to feed you. But I think it's January 1st, maybe in the first Sunday in January. I had no idea that church was going to call us back. By the way, it don't matter if I do or if I don't. That ain't what I'm resting my happiness on tonight. Amen. But I was sitting here, we got to singing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And all of a sudden, I got my eyes back on Jesus. It wasn't in an all-night prayer meeting. I wished it had been. I wished that had been a lot more spiritual. But I was just sitting here singing one morning.
and started having myself a time, and tears started welling up my eyes, and I started saying, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory. Our salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my... Man, I'm telling you, you can get through that song and not feel anything. I wonder about your soul, man. I'm telling you. I begin to think about that thing and thinking, this is my story. This is my song. It's hard to sing. It's hard to do this. It starts to, this is my story. I mean, it's almost hard if you begin to think about it at least a little bit. By the way, when you sing in church, you ought to think about it. You ought to put your heart into it and think about it. That's what the Bible says to do. It'll encourage you to sing unto yourself. The Bible says speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The Bible said that to encourage you. But anyway, let's look at Genesis chapter 2 tonight. Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. I'm just going to kind of read a few scriptures and talk, y'all, like I've been doing, but I hadn't read any scripture yet. That's about the only difference. But I sound like Hallelujah Howard tonight, don't I? Amen. I'm rambling around. I'll say, "Amen, Hallelujah!" You know, just jump around, amen. All right, Genesis chapter 2. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, because I'm just going to read some scriptures. Father, we come before you tonight, God, and Lord, this is a little different, certainly different to me. Lord, how it's been prepared in my heart, and God, I just need you tonight, Lord. I always need you, but Lord, we need something tonight. Lord, there's somebody here needs to hear this, and God, I pray that your word is amazing. And God, I pray that you'd take it and use it in the hearts of us tonight to encourage us, help us, bless us, convict us, whatever you need to do. But we give you ourselves, give you our lives, give you our lips, that you might use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, look at Genesis chapter 2 tonight. We're going to kind of teach and then preach. Whatever happens, happens tonight. And we'll be out of here in a few minutes. And you can go whatever you do, whatever you do. If you go to the Mexican place, go there. I recommend the one we go to, but I don't understand why people don't like it as good as theirs. You know, people get real possessive over their Mexican places. I never did fall in love with the ones they go to over there. They got that old thin salsa. I like chunky salsa. I like the stuff with garlic and that green stuff in it, cilantro. Mm. I can taste it now. Y'all hungry already, ain't you? And the one over there at salsas is the best one. Somebody say amen. This Desi come to the piano. We need to have have invitation right now early. Man, they have. Let me just tell you this, y'all. This is just a side note. I get so disappointed now at going anywhere else because I'm gonna give you one word: chimichanga. Chimichanga. That's all I'm gonna say. No, they bring you a chimichanga about this big. It's a deep fried. It's got steak in it. It's got squash. It's got squash and onions and what else? It got a lot of stuff. Black olives. I don't know what else. It's got sour cream, lettuce. I'm making stuff up as I go. But it's all good. And anywhere else you go after you eat there, you're going to be disappointed. Can I get some help in the back here, my amen corner? Have y'all been to La Salsa's yet? I'm talking to the. Are y'all Hispanic?
Yeah.
Have you been to La Salsa's?
Yeah.
Is it not better than the rest of them?
Yeah.
Yes! Hallelujah! That's what I thought. Amen. All right, amen. All right, take your Bibles in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. All right. We're not going to talk. I mean, I'm telling you, Genesis chapter 2, the whole chapter, just talks about how wonderful the Garden of Eden was. God makes man, puts him in this beautiful place of euphoria, this wonderful place where there's no sin, where there's no sin, where man is, I'm going to use this word, and I'll use it now, and I'll use it later. Man really was whole. There wasn't nothing broken. Nothing wrong. And that word whole and that word holy are very similar. That should come from the same word. Whole and holy. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Man was whole here. The Bible said in chapter 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul." He was a whole human being, nothing wrong with him, no aches, no pains, no sin, no imperfections. verse 8, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put man whom he had formed." Let's go on down. In verse 12, I like this verse, I just wanted to read it to you. I kind of give you a little bit of a picture. If you read through this, you kind of see a little bit about what, you know, it kind of compares to Revelation. And you find this thing, Genesis, going from Genesis being the first, Revelation being the last, and everything in between kind of being a hard time, you know. And Genesis chapter 2, verse 12 said, "And the gold of that land is good. And the gold of that land is good." I'd read it before, but never thought about it. And it goes on to talk about other jewels and other things. It's a beautiful place. I mean, you can imagine if the land of Canaan had grapes that were as big as your head, I'd say the Garden of Eden was probably similar to that, with these beautiful places and rivers. It talks about these rivers and creeks, the pure rivers. And of course, if you get over in Revelation, it talks about the pure river of life that flows from the throne. And that, I think that that's very similar, that garden, that paradise, that place there, which science fiction movies always try to tap into and to get into that thing. There's so much here in this, we can't get to all of it, but I just want to touch the highlights and talk about how wonderful it was in that place there. It said, "And the gold of that land is good." The Bible talks about a place we're going to where the streets are gold. And the gold of that land is good. And I do believe heaven is going to be even better than the Garden of Eden, don't get me wrong, but I'm just telling you, man was right. Everything was right between him and God. Gives him a wife, you know, there. And everything was right between Adam and his wife. They didn't argue. They didn't fight. They got along. Everything was right between Adam and God. He was whole. He was holy. Wasn't nothing wrong. God made him perfect. And the Lord told him not to eat of that tree. And the Bible says over there in verse 25, I want you to look at verse 25. "And they were both naked, the man and his wife." Now I want you to read this verse right here. I want you could underline this in your Bible. It's very important. "They were both naked and were not ashamed." I'm talking about everything was okay. Everything was all right. And they were not ashamed. Man, I'm telling you, we live in this old guilt-stricken world. Everything's messed up, turned upside down. People are ashamed. Everything's messed up. People are sick. People are hurting. And people say, "Why does good things happen? Why does bad things happen to good people?" Well, that is about the craziest statement I've ever heard in my life. And you're fixing to see why. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 2 now, or chapter 3 now. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God made. And the devil gets there into him and says, and says unto the woman, 'Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said unto the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit.'" There's your first mistake right there. Hey, listen, ladies! Don't talk to the devil! You know that old devil, he goes on later to say, Adam says, "Look, the woman you gave me this fruit." And she goes on to say, and the serpent beguiled me. He deceived me. He seduced me." Listen, if somebody's flirting with you and you're flirting with them, listen, the problem was the devil said what he said, but the real problem came in is when she began to have a conversation with him. She began to have a conversation with him. She should have said, "Yeah, conversation over. See you later." Hey, men, save your compliments for your wife. Hey, ladies, if somebody comes on to you and starts complimenting you, say, "Hey, look, I'm a happily married woman. I love my husband. Get out of my face, you pervert." Amen. You know how I know that ain't in the notes? Because there ain't no notes. Amen. Hallelujah. Had no idea that was going to come out. Amen. But I'm telling you, listen, the first thing she did, look, they begin to text and they begin to flirt and they begin to cut up. Quit texting and flirting and cutting up with him. Leave the devil alone. Leave the devil alone. The Bible says, "Resist the devil, he'll flee from you." Amen. But the Bible says, "And the woman said unto the serpent," you can underline that in your Bibles being her first mistake, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees." Man, she just started to have a conversation with this guy. Conversations will get you, man. Just quit talking to him. Don't talk to him. Be stuck up. Be a snob. Do whatever you got to do. Quit flirting with him. You know what I'm talking about. "But of the fruit Anyway, she goes on down. Let's get on down here. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." Stinking liar. Anyway, brother, he said, then he said in verse 5, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened." You're going to be better off, he said, "and you'll be as gods, knowing evil and good." Brother, this is the world we live in today. You're going to be like gods. You're going to know more. We need to know more, man. I mean, I'm so sick of this world and the CNN and the politicians all saying, "Well, we need to educate our kids and we need to put them in school 260 days a year and we need to let them go till 7 o'clock so we can be like the Chinese." I don't want to be like the Chinese. I don't even want to do business with the Chinese anymore. When did we start just going to bed with the Chinese? The Chinese ain't right. They're communists. They're wicked. They're God haters. They're God deniers. I don't want to hang out with the Chinese. I don't want my kids to be Chinese. I want my kids to love God and read the Bible and fear God and be a blessed good American. They want everybody to know evil and good. We want them to know. We want them to learn. We want them to learn. It's all about education. It's all about this. You know what that is? That's the devil. Now look, I don't believe it's wrong to get an education. But I tell you what, even if you go over here at Western Piedmont where I went, there's one teacher over there, and I got into it with him a couple times. He started talking about, "Well, if I was going to go buy a car, I'd want somebody that knows about all cars. I want somebody that knows about Ford and knows about Chevrolet and knows about Hondas and has been all over the world and knows about all cars." He said, "I wouldn't want a grandma that had driven Fords all her life and that's all she knew about." And he was talking about religion. He was talking about God and comparing it to buying a car. And he said, "Which one would you want?" I said, "I'll take the grandma that knows that drives a Ford all her life. Because I ain't going to buy a car. I'm basing on whether or not I'm going to spend eternity in heaven or hell or not. I ain't buying a Ford. It's more important than that." But he got talking about that. And there's one guy over there said that he felt like if he hadn't caused you to doubt your faith and doubt the existence of God, that he didn't feel like he had done his job. Man, I want to say, do you not realize you're just a technical college teacher? You're not a Harvard professor, you idiot. And by the way, if you was a Harvard professor, Harvard was founded to teach young men how to preach the gospel. Amen. Oh my God, where have we gone today? Brother, our country constantly, if you turn on the TV, it's constantly Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes will be open." He wants you just to be open-minded. You need to open your eyes today to the truth. I'm telling you, brother, if you can't see what's going on today in Genesis chapter 3, I'm telling you, friend, that's the way it is. But then he said, it's going to benefit you, friend. And I began to think about this. He said, look, you need to start thinking about yourself. You're here in this place, but you just don't know. You can be like God. And the truth was, he's a half liar. And a half liar is a liar. A half liar is a liar. Now I'm convicted about that car. Amen. That's good. I said I'm a half liar is a liar, and I thought, you just lied about that car. I didn't lie. Them guys are liars. Them used car guys are liars. They wanted to be lied to. Amen. Oh, Lord. But listen, he said, it's real important that you focus on yourself here. The devil, he said, how you're going to be happy is if you focus on you. You need to get an education. By the way, it's not wrong to get an education. I've been trying to get an education myself. The world we live in today, you can't even get a job without an education. But I'm telling you, when I go over to that school, I filter everything that goes in this ear through that book right there. And I filter it, I pour it through there. And I've learned a lot of things. You know what I do? If it's good, I stick it up here on the board of my mind and I stick a scripture beside of it. And I use it. If it's bad, I throw it in the garbage of my mind. And I try not to pull it back again. Old Freud or some weirdo like that, you know. But But brother, I'm telling you, the devil, he'll say this to you. He'll say, you need to focus on yourself. And you know what? He'll say, you need to take a vacation. Nothing wrong with that either. Don't get me wrong. He'll say, and when you go on vacation, even to Gatlinburg, which we went to last weekend, oh, we've seen the advertisements. Here's the place where you can go and you can get a sign made with your name on it. And then, the next door over, you can get your name, your baby's name put in a song. It's very own nursery rhyme. Brother, that's the world we live in. The Bible said in the last days they'd be lovers of their own self. Lovers of their own self, brother. Self-love. If the devil can get you falling in love with yourself, there again, you're on the way down, brother. Lovers of their own selves. I'll be honest with you, and I'll tell you what, stuff like this, people don't want to admit it. You know, you don't want to admit you love yourself, but you do. And the more you let yourself love yourself, the more miserable you'll be. The more you let yourself deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Him, the happier you'll be. And brother, these are things that you're constantly going to battle with in your Christian life. But I get convicted, Brother Derek, because I read over in 2 Timothy where it says, there'll be boasters, proud, blasphemers. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Man, every time I read that stuff, I'm not saying I'm a blasphemer, but I'm just saying, every time I read that stuff about lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God and lovers of their own self, I get convicted. I think, man, I'm telling you. And brother, the truth is, the world's way wicked, but the church has moved into the world slot. Brother, we're as bad as the world was 20 years ago, if not worse. And it is a shame. And it is a disgrace. And they point their fingers at us and say, the divorce rates in the church is just as high as the divorce rates out in the world. It is a shame. And part of that is because we try to get married. The world don't even get married. They just shack up. You don't have to get divorced if you're just shacking up. The marriage rate's higher in church too, amen. give us a little bit of a break. We do try to do right. We fail miserably, but we try. Amen. This is teaching, preaching. I don't know what it is, but it's coming out. Let's look at verse 6. He said, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food. I don't know what she's looking at. It was pleasant to the eye. It was good for food, one. Pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. A lust of the flesh, a lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Right there in that verse. He said, she saw it was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh. And it's pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and desire to make one wise, that's the pride of life. Brother, he hit her with all three of them. He said, man, it's going to make you wise beyond your years. By the way, I said he was a half liar because she did know some stuff later that she didn't know before. Good and evil. All she knew before was good. He said, I want you to learn something. I'm just going to teach you something. Come to my classroom. I'm going to teach you something. He took her in there and said, just want you to know that the Textus Receptus made some mistakes. I just want you to know that, listen, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just trying to teach you something. You're ignorant. You don't know any better. You're just an old Bible thumper. And I want you to know over there in Acts 8:37 that should be taken out. I want you to know 1 John 5:7 is it really shouldn't be in there. That really shouldn't be in there. Listen, she knew good. By the way, I knew the Bible was the Word of God before I got saved. I tell you what, if you go to the worldly college, they don't want to let God in. And if you go to a Christian college, they don't want to believe God. You might be better off just go up in the woods with a jug of water and a King James Bible, friend. I promise you're probably safer if you're going to preach that book. Just go up in the woods with a jug of water, get the Holy Ghost on you, and read that book right there. You'll learn more that way. Go to some God-denying bunch of, I don't care if they're Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever, and they're going to get in there and rip the Word of God apart. They say more young men and more young ladies lose their faith in a Christian college than they do out in the world. Get in there and rip the Bible apart. They want to know down there if I'd had any education. Oh, Lord. I said, can you not tell I ain't? Amen. Verse 7. And their eyes were open to the bad, brother. To the worst. Their eyes were open to the worst. Verse 7, and the eyes of both were open, and they knew they were naked. I drew a line from Genesis 2:25 to 3:7. Verse 2:25 said, and they were not ashamed. 3 verse 7, it says, they were ashamed, or they were naked. Verse 8 said, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Said, and of course it goes on down to say, where art thou? We're about to run out of time. I was going to say this, so listen, friend. Anytime you sin, it's going to hurt you. Anytime you if you're flirting around, messing with something you shouldn't be messing around with, listen to me, you're going to be ashamed. You're going to be ashamed. Man, I'm telling you, when everything's whole, somebody said, well, the devil's telling you, you just need to be happy. You just need to be happy. Listen, you know what? Being holy is better than being happy. And let me tell you about that word holy again. That word whole is like being whole. You reckon they was happier in the Garden of Eden when nothing was wrong? Or was they happier later? Of course they was happier there in the Garden of Eden. Happy comes from the word happen. Happy comes from the word happenstance. It's, in other words, it's subjective to what's going on. That means if you go on vacation, you might be happy, you might not be happy. That means it's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Help me out. Conditional, thank you. My mind don't work sometimes, most of the time. It's very conditional. Happiness is very conditional. I'd rather be holy, be whole, be right with God, have my sins under the blood, washed in the blood, walking with Jesus, and be going through a bunch of trouble than to be backslid with money in my pocket on vacation. That's a mouthful. And I don't want to have to back it up. But I'm telling you, I've been both. I've been backslid away from the Lord, full of myself, wanting to go get a sign made with my name on it. Amen. I almost got a Jason's Barbecue sign in Gatlinburg. Say, well, Jason, would that have been wrong? No, but it'd been miserable. And you be honest. You know I'm telling the truth. When you're all about yourself and it's all about you, I'm telling you what, you might be able to live that way, but I'm telling you, it drives me insane. And I just want to get back to church and crawl under the altar and do like Jesus said. Take up. He said, let a man deny himself. It's self that's killing you. It's self that's hurting you. It's self, 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 self. Let a man deny himself. Take up his cross and follow him. You never thought that the most relaxed and the most peace you'll have is when you yoke up like an ox with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. That's the happiest you'll be. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Come on, piano, Miss Desi. She's come to get a song tonight. I have no poems to give. I have no illustrations. And I have a whole lot more scripture to read. But we have said what we're going to say, amen. And I have hope that's reached somebody's heart tonight. I have no expectation. But maybe the Lord spoke to you. And maybe you just realized tonight that you might have been living for self a little too much. I know I have. I know how it is when I get full of myself. Sometimes I just need to crawl into an altar. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Somebody just maybe need to crawl into an altar and say, Lord, I want to deny myself. And not just deny myself, but I want to take up my cross and follow you and live for Jesus where I'm happy, where I'm serving Him, where my mind's right and my heart's right. And I'd rather be holy than to be happy, because I know in being holy, I'm whole and I'm right with Him, and that's where real happiness comes from. Real joy, real happiness. If you need to come, slip out and pray. If not, we'll just pray together. Amen. Amen. All right, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, we come before you now. Thank you for the wonderful Word of God. Lord, we see later on, God, the coats of skin. And Lord, how you shed that animal's blood. And Lord, the cost of the sacrifice, something had to die because of that sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died and took our place. Paid for that sin that not only that Adam and Eve committed, but the ones we've committed, the ones we're born into. Lord, thank you for the Word of God and what it teaches us just in the very first three chapters of the Bible. And Lord, that you came and bruised the old enemy's head later on there. What a study and what the truth it is there tonight. Lord, if we're flirting with sin, if we're in love with ourselves, Lord, we confess it, we forsake it, we go walking with you tonight as we leave this place with our hearts right, as whole as we can be, God, Lord, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord Jesus, and pray, God, you'd use us, that your will be done in our lives. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, amen. I hope everything's right. I'm sorry if that was the craziest, weirdest message you ever heard, but it's what the Lord gave us, amen. I hope it's a blessing to you. Get in the Bible, read it. Read the rest of that there. It's good. It gets into to where redemption comes from. You'll see the Lord Jesus Christ on every page of the Bible, I've heard, but you'll definitely see him there. You'll see the sacrifice in the garden, the blood sacrifice. Amen. We could go on and on about that, but we won't. Brother Derek, you need to say anything? All right, you're at liberty to go. Amen.